serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
Even if that doesn't ring true, you've been all over, and it's been all over you. It's a beautiful day, so let it get away. It's a beautiful day.
So I didn't really play this for Rich Lettman or anything, because Rich wanted me to play something very, what would be the word?
Ordinary.
Mundane.
Yeah.
From the BBC of all places.
Yeah.
Apparently you don't know radio unless you know the BBC theme.
Theme music, correct.
Hey, welcome to the show, everybody. It is Tuesday, March 17th, 2026. That explains Bono doing the vocals. U2, of course, from Northern Ireland. Boy, do I feel old when I say that, because I was explaining to Marissa the Catholics and the Protestants and the, you know, the skirt. I mean, people died there for, what, quarter of a century at least?
Quarter of a century? How about a
how long is that going on?
150 years.
Okay, in my lifetime, it was like, you know, but it went, it got hot, it got cold, it got hot, it got cold.
I don't know, the war for Irish independence, what, around 1920?
But that's not what it was it?
Sure, they were part of the United Kingdom, and they were almost like, yeah, they were not independent.
The Catholics and Protestants were fighting over Irish independence?
Well, the War of Irish Independence certainly had Unionists versus,
okay,
you know, folks that wanted to rebel. And, in fact, the Irish have been at odds with the English, I'm going to guess, 400 years.
I knew that was part of it, because the Crown, obviously, yeah, is not Catholic. So, right, anyway, she had no idea that, you know, about that whole era in history, and it was all over the news every night.
Mm-hmm.
This happened in Belfast, that happened in Belfast, and I was trying to think if U2 was from Dublin or Belfast, and I've decided Belfast because of all the war that they wrote about, and even an album called War. And then the part that was really impressive that he doesn't really get that much credit for, but Clinton brokered the peace.
Yeah, in fact, the when I lived over in the UK, now it was pretty much behind us, but they referred to that, well, let's call it what it was, almost a civil war.
Yeah,
called it the Troubles. That's how we referred to it in the UK, you know,
right,
and putting an end to the Troubles.
Okay,
that was the name for it.
Well, there you go. We have a history professor here, Rich
you
Lettman.
Do.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm overdosing on fudge.
You are. You're finishing what's left over from the holidays. I know. I've been trying to get you here, and you've been trying to get here for, oh my goodness, for so long, and well before the beginning of the year. And now we have the perfect opportunity,
yeah,
to talk about a situation that was fluid back then. Now it's kind of solidifying itself at the Laughlin Bullhead International Airport and the Mojave County Airport Authority Board.
Correct.
Which oversees that airport, correct?
Correct.
Okay. What is happening since then? We've had, was it O'Brien? Osborne.
Bill Osborne.
Bill Osborne was on Speak Out 2.0.
Yeah.
And that's when kind of the whole thing, like, wait a minute, did he just admit to that? And then it was, you know, question after question after question from Larry, which I was kind of feeding him a little bit. But
I think the whole airport thing went sideways probably back around 1997, 98, okay, when...
Who was the mayor? Norm Hicks?
I have no idea. No, it was the Board of Supervisors who created this thing. And the whole idea was, and we've confirmed now that, by the way, that airport is owned by Mojave County. There's no more dispute over that anymore.
Really?
All the MCAA does is govern it on our behalf. The taxpayers, the Board of Supervisors, you know, the citizens of the county, we are the owner of that airport. And we're going to get that baby turned around.
So where are the revenues coming from besides the jets that park and pay, you know, runway fees?
You're talking about landing fees.
Landing fees.
Yeah, they have an FBO, a fixed base operation.
One or two? Or
one, and this is where if you're flying a private plane, you come on in and you park it and you go on into the lounge and they clean it for you and they'll cater it. And if you want to spend a couple of days, they'll put it out there on the tarmac somewhere and you park your jet there. And the FBO gets its primary revenue off of fuel sales.
Ah.
So they're effectively the gas station for the airport. They have kind of a monopoly. They don't have it with the charter flights, but they do have it with everybody else. So military, civilian, all that stuff coming in. Anybody that is not named Sun Country Airlines uses the FBO.
That's funny. I get the joke.
Okay, they use the FBO. They have landing fees, but really their primary source of revenue, there's two others. One is this land that's around the airport.
The industrial park, right?
Well, it's more what I'd call a commercial retail area. Directly west of the airport, bordering Highway 95, it's got a Home Depot on it, a Sam's Club, an IHOP, a McDonald's, Chili's, you know, Carl's Jr., it goes on. So the way this thing was set up...
That used to be the runway, by the way.
I know.
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And then Don would park his Learjet, like, right there by the highway.
Yeah.
You had Woody's Chevron was right there.
Yep.
It was,
yep.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
So anyway, they kind of set this up. I'm still not sure how legal the whole arrangement is, but I'm not an attorney. It basically said we're gonna allow this MCAA group, we're gonna lease the land to them, and they can turn around and sublease each of those properties, charge rent, okay, on it, and the rent goes towards the operation of the airport.
Wait, this is the county's land?
Yes.
And the county's airport?
Yes.
But the money's not going to the county.
No, it's going to the airport.
Gotcha.
We'll see how long.
See how well I follow?
Yeah. So, get this.
Wow.
It's the airport authority, basically can sublease that land. So you've got an Olive Garden coming in, you know, which we just approved at this last meeting. The Board of Supervisors approved the tenets of the lease agreement between the MCAA and Olive Garden and some other covenants and things that had to be done.
So now do you have to go back and look at those other leases in retrospect?
I doubt it.
But you've thought about it, huh?
I sure have. So, yeah, we would like to take that land wherever possible, you know, with the permission of our friends at the FAA, because they really do have a lot of jurisdiction over airports. Okay,
you think?
Yeah. With their kind blessing and permission, we'd like to monetize the remaining vacant land and give that money back to the taxpayers. My gripe has always been is that all that land around the airport, all of it, since it's in the name of the MCAA, which is a nonprofit corporation.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Paul, being a nonprofit corporation, how much property tax do you think the MCAA pays on the land?
A big, fat zilch.
Yeah, it's a zero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because they collect the lease payment instead. So you go back to 97, 93, whatever it was back in the 90s, fast forward 30-something years, do you know how much property tax has been lost to the taxpayers? And I don't have the exact number. We have one parcel.
How many acres are we talking about?
Oh, it's got to be upwards of 90.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
It's just, now, we do collect property tax on the improvements on the land. Okay, so Home Depot doesn't get away scot-free. It's just that we'd much rather have that property tax. We'd much rather take this land, turn it over to private developers, let them develop the land, collect the property tax immediately on the sale of the land,
mm-hmm.
and we can lessen the burden on regular property taxpayers throughout the county. So,
well, all that lost property tax, it's not those retailers now that would pay it, right?
Yeah. And by the way,
wouldn't it be the Airport Authority itself?
No. The Airport Authority is a nonprofit corporation.
Well, okay. Tomato, tomato.
Yeah. I don't know. Nonprofit corporations generally don't pay property taxes.
Apparently, they don't have to pay for audits either, right?
Yeah.
So they thought.
Yeah, they're paying for one now.
I kind of want to get to that.
Go ahead.
Okay. It was a mess. I mean,
it still is a mess.
It was like peeling back an onion that was rotting from the inside out. And it stunk even more as you peeled. And, I mean, what happened to those people who were the Airport Authority chair? You had a treasurer. There were a couple of board members.
Yeah, they're gone.
They're just replaced. They're gone.
They're gone. They resigned.
But what about the person who allegedly stole $110,000, I heard?
Should I do a cop-out here, which basically says...
You know, though.
My attorneys the county have basically said... I'm not going to say they said to stay quiet.
But they know who did it. So
we know who's involved.
You know who's involved. So what happens? Do we just let the justice system take over then?
I would hope so.
You would hope so. But we thought that with Warren Jeffs, too. You weren't here then, were you?
Oh, no, I know who Warren Jeffs is.
No, he was here and you let him go.
The whole thing about the finances up at the airport, I've never been convinced that there was... criminal intent?
No, I didn't either. I thought it was stupidity.
Yeah, I've never felt that. I think the people trying to run the airport, very well-intentioned, very good, just not the right people to run this show.
I don't know about the airport itself, because the director at the airport seems like a very capable person. I'm talking about the board.
Yeah, no, it's the board that was calling all the shots.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the executive director of the airport.
I think they were guessing.
Clearly... has a background in aviation and airport management.
Okay? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so you want to take care of this guy.
Yeah.
Okay, but he's going to have a performance standard too. Now, I should say I can say that quite easily. I'm not on the board of the Airport Authority. The supervisors aren't allowed to be on the board because we are the owners of the airport.
Sure.
Okay, so we have two representatives from the county. One is Steve Letowski, and the other is Luke Mornian. And this is what they bring to the board. First of all, Luke clearly has a background in finance. And based on what you and I are just talking about right now, a background in finance might really be a strong consideration to see if somebody is qualified to be a board member on that airport authority. Steve Letowski has a background
engineering.
In physical plant, engineering, process improvement, all this stuff. These two guys are sensational. Now, unfortunately, we're losing Luke.
You're losing Luke, I was going to say, right.
But the new CFO will take over. And, that's what we need on this board. We didn't need people who, lease or rent a hangar or they're in general aviation. And we get it. This airport certainly serves a lot of general aviation. We need people with backgrounds that can help guide us in turning the airport around, making it profitable, ensuring a good future for it. So you want people with HR backgrounds, finance.
20 years ago, I think you had to be a casino boss to, like John Hastings was the chair at one time. Like, okay,
he was.
I mean, I understand the whole CEO mentality and organization and that, but what do you know about an airport, right?
Yeah.
That was my thought.
And it's very reflective of problems you have in general with nonprofit groups and everything.
You got people that want to pad their resume.
No. I think we have people my age. I'm 75. So people in their 60s, 70s who are retired. And it's like, I need something to do. And in a very well-meaning way, I'm going to go join a nonprofit group and get on their board. That doesn't mean they have... the qualifications and the background and experience
right.
to do the thing those boards need. And I think that was the case here also.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect. So let's kind of land this plane, if you will.
Yeah.
Right? I love that expression, by the way. Who's on the board now? The Bullhead City put two people on there?
Yeah, they put a council
member. The city
member.
Of Bullhead City, I should say.
Yeah, so Bullhead City put Gene O'Neill, council member, on the board. So he clearly is going to have the political side of the equation.
Is that going to be a permanent liaison type position?
It is. Last Friday, the bylaws were changed.
Nice.
Bullhead City has two permanent voting members on the board. The county has two. The other person from Bullhead City, I just lost my thought
on
that.
He's in the city manager's office, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, Travis Pruitt.
Yeah, right.
So he's the assistant city manager. So now we have a guy that has an inside track to understanding how government works, okay, and how relationships between governments work, okay? And he's the president of that board now, and that is the right guy to have up there, let me tell you.
Wow.
So effectively, the city and the county together, and I said this publicly, it was an intent of mine, have taken control of the board. They have four of the seven members. That doesn't mean they're going to agree on everything.
Right.
But at least we can lend a helping hand to get this thing turned around.
You have a city councilman background. You were on the council in Bullhead. Two terms?
No, I was on there almost 2 years.
Oh, 2 years then.
I was appointed to fill a vacancy from a death. And then...
Was it Kathy?
No, it was Norma.
Norma Brummond.
Brummond, yeah.
Brummond, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And you had, now, just a little background for the listeners in Havasu that don't know you. You had a business as well for a while.
Correct. I had a Coit Cleaning and Restoration franchise.
Yeah.
Sold it to a family down here in Lake Havasu City.
Oh.
And they are doing far better with the business than I ever did.
I wonder what I don't fault people, though, because you have, like, the 2008 financial crisis happened.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things that businesses have to deal with. Yeah, the pandemic. I got here literally a month after the pandemic started here. Yeah, I'm watching this going, why did I do this?
Well, you know, I started that business up in 2010, which was just 2 years after, you know, the Great Recession had started.
Well,
and I saw an opening. Plus, I had nothing to do. I had retired, and I thought, you know,
I was at the grand opening or the ribbon cutting, whatever it was. Yeah, but I noticed from too big to fail is what I call it, the too big to fail recession. It seemed to be like a wave that hit us 2 years later. Everything hit us in 2010.
Could
be. You know, so what you started in 2010 was like the start of our recession. We took another 2 years to recover after, you know, it was 2014, 2015. I think I'd gone to Vegas shortly after that. But anyway, you guys are in budget talks. I love how you did this. You took a picture of your whiteboard, which has all your priorities, and then gave it to me. I don't even have to write when Rich Letman's on the show. You think that doesn't endear you to being a future guest or what?
You can come. We can send you screenshots of my whiteboard in the office you want.
It's all good,
okay.
Man.
I sent you the old one, too. But
you did?
Yeah, this new one. Yeah, the old one we did. We did all...
What's the difference? What did you achieve from the 2024 priorities? Or 2025?
Well, clearly, there were a couple items on there. One was the whole medical examiner.
Oh, yes.
I don't want to call it a fiasco. It wasn't that. Okay, but...
I like John.
So do I.
Yeah. But it's
John Hass is a great guy.
It's just the situation itself.
Yeah,
it's
there's
a lot of money going out the door.
Yeah, you got funeral home operators who are upset. You have people that you're not sure that we should be using a third party. And
see why they're upset?
Yeah, of course. I understood that completely.
The optics are horrible.
Yeah.
And he probably would say that too.
And remember, this guy stepped in at a time of great need for the county. We had lost your pathologist, medical examiner, and it's like, what are we going to do now? And this guy says, well, I'll step in and run it for a while, and we'll do it through a third-party relationship. My point of view on all of that was there had to be a wind-down to all of this and a new plan, and I just took that one bull by the horns, and my colleagues on the Board of Supervisors, you know, clearly I think all five of us were in a mood to bring this in-house. You didn't need to read the tea leaves real well on that one. Okay, and it's like...
The current board.
Oh, yeah.
That was after... You didn't have very many meetings under your belt as a current board, though, right?
Yeah, but we didn't make the final decision to bring this in-house till about a year ago.
Okay.
Okay, after we got some other things in place, like winding down the current contract, calling an end to it, putting out an RFP, and then finally making a decision... in the 2026 financial plan to set aside $4.5 million for the construction of a morgue in Kingman, Arizona. So once we put the money and said we're going to build a morgue, you didn't need much else to see what was the handwriting on the wall where we were headed with this, and that was, if you're going to build a morgue, it sounds like you're going to bring it in-house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's going to cost us some money, but I think it's the right thing to do, and I think all five of us felt it was the right thing to do.
And does that cost ever go down?
That was
the other question.
You know, I doubt that.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
You had the Inflation Reduction Act, which did just the opposite.
Yeah.
Put trillions of dollars into the economy. Prices on everything go up, and then prices on the cost of labor goes way up, and now nothing's gone down, yet, you know, 45-47's blamed for it all.
Well, I don't blame him.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. It's a scapegoat move, but... Is the morgue going to be built in my lifetime then?
Yeah.
Is
it gonna, in fact, you want to come to the ribbon cutting? It'll be.
Is there an RFP then?
RFP's already been done.
Oh, it has. Okay.
I got to think on that one.
You know who the
one.
General contractor is then?
Yeah, I think I do not, but I.
Is there a location?
We have not. The most likely location is near the Second County buildings. In Kingman, over there on Keno Avenue.
Oh, okay.
So where our fleet services is at off of the old Route 66, there's an old warehouse, a very small warehouse building across the street, about 8,000 square feet, as I recall. And inside of it, we store traffic signs.
Okay.
It will make the perfect morgue.
What about those people that said, don't put it in a populated area because of the smell?
Nah, I'm not worried about that.
I wasn't either.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a mortuary right up the street.
No kidding. And in Flagstaff, the Coconino morgue and medical examiner's office, I assure you, is close to other buildings and homes.
Of course.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Right. You'd have no idea driving up.
No, when you said on Keno, I thought we were going to Shinner up here, right?
No.
You remember?
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
McConico, is that it? One of those exits in there.
Yeah, somewhere over there.
Anyway, it's Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm looking for green.
Yeah, I got it right there. The trees and the county seal.
Yeah, you're like that seventh grader. I got it right here.
Yeah, if I brought my thought to wear my Miami hat, you know, you would have had a green one.
I'm representing for my high school. It's probably the only day of the year I can get away with wearing this shirt. It's green and white. Rancho High School alumni class of 82.
I'm guessing they were the Rams.
Yes.
Looking at your...
Looks just like Colorado State, doesn't it?
It sure does. Looks very copycat.
Well, I guess we were.
Yeah.
What are you going to say? Laughlin High School took right after the BYU Cougars, by the way. Mm-hmm. That's why they're the Laughlin Cougars.
Mm-hmm.
Blue and white uniforms, everything. That's your alma mater.
It is.
I found out. All right. Yeah. Back with more in a moment. It's UNLV versus BYU.
When?
The old whack days. Right now. I'm
no,
UNLV.
We're getting ready to play basketball tomorrow night against
somebody. I went
to
UNLV. Try to follow.
I know. I am.
All right. Speak Out will return in a moment. We have District 2 County Supervisor Rich Lettman, who likes to take headphones off early. And you could talk to Rich Lettman if you like, 928-854-5687. Oh, you're going to come back on.
Yeah.
Okay. He's getting a little feisty. He's finishing the Christmas fudge over here.
I've got a sugar high going.
It should be good. So... Anyway, 928-854-5687, or text in your question, 928-727-5566. Go out with little Bono. You ever seen U2?
Yeah, I have.
Twice here, man. Good stuff. All right, let's go to break. We'll be right back. So, Rich, I'm not even kidding. You might have seen this tour when they did it, but Bono was picking out people from the audience, right?
Yeah.
You look like a singer. They were obviously plants. You look like a drummer. You look like a bass player. You look like the New Edge, right? They all go up on stage, these people out of the audience, all guys, and they play this song of all songs.
I did not see that.
That is a difficult song to play on drums, any instrument. You know, and the singer was nailing it. And you're like, wait, these guys, they weren't just picked for nothing. I think it was in 87, 88, Thomas and Mack. Anyway, Speak Out is brought to you in part by City Maytag. Of course, City Maytag, Speak Out Kitchen with No Sink. That's where we are right now. Someone took my notes, and I think it was my production assistant. She took my notes on who the sponsors are for the show. She likes to do that. She likes to joke around, so... Anyway, I don't see them here, but I know it's Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. Also, let's see how many I can remember. Bonzi Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road. And A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. And I'm going to go ahead and look for those. And you're going to tell us about a special America 250. This is like near and dear to our hearts here at Radio Central. America 250 is being celebrated by the county, and it's a library right across the street from us.
Yeah, so what's going on? There's an exhibit of 18 Revolutionary War era flags. We showed some of them at the Board of Supervisors meeting on Monday. We have a 5 foot wide by 8 foot long Betsy Ross flag that's going to hang in the front of the Bullhead Library up by the glass on Hancock Road. And then 17 more of these flags, everything from the Green Mountain Boys to the Serapis flag to the Philadelphia Light Brigade, Bennington flag, they're all going to hang from the ceiling. And that exhibit starts April 30th and goes through June 13th. And then it comes down, and I believe the next stop for the flags is Kingman.
Okay.
So they'll get it for the July 4th holiday, and the library director will announce the date that the flag exhibit will come down to Lake Havasu City. My guess is August.
Which one's, okay, the Betsy Ross flag.
This, yeah, the 13.
13 in the circle.
Mm-hmm.
Why did, do you know why they put them in a circle?
I don't.
I don't either. Is it just, is it decoration or was it as a unifying?
Well, I think it showed unity, mm-hmm. okay, and they were all the same. What's fascinating is that wasn't the first Continental flag.
Oh, no.
I have it for you here.
You showed me one. It wasn't Gadsden.
Of course, we can't see these on the radio, but the flag in question.
The one from Philadelphia?
No, this. Okay, so there is.
It looks like a Union. It looks like an Australian flag.
No, it looks like our American flag, but in place of the blue field with the white stars is the Union Jack,
right.
And that's called the Grand Continental Flag.
Ah.
And what Betsy Ross did was, goodbye Union Jack, hello 13 stars in a circular pattern. You notice the 13 stripes are still there.
Instant hero right there.
That flag will be hanging in your library. Okay, so.
Now, are these replicas? Or
oh, yeah.
Okay. How old are they as replicas? Do you know? I mean, are they like...
Oh, no, I think they're fairly new.
Specially made type?
Yeah, they are for this event. So
wow.
I'm trying to show you. We can't see this on the radio.
No, but it's
the
third...
It's the blue background, okay, with stars on it, and those are seven pointed stars.
Oh, they are?
That is George Washington's commander's flag.
Why okay. seven-pointed star?
I have no idea.
Anything to do with Masonic Lodge, maybe?
I don't know. We'd have to ask George. Okay, or a good historian.
Right.
Anyway.
Wow. And then there's another one. Yeah,
Moultrie flag.
Okay.
So the radio can't see it, but this is the Union Jack again up in the left upper left-hand corner.
Right.
And the rest of the flag is yellow. This is from Pennsylvania, and the yellow is the symbolism of pacifism for the Quakers.
Oh, right.
Okay, so that's kind of like the Quaker flag.
I got you. Oh, that's
you need to come to the library.
When that's interesting.
Okay.
I know. You should facilitate this thing.
So we're having a big shindig on April 30th at the Bullhead Library. $20 to get in. We're going to have a night celebrating. It's called A Night at the Library, Celebrating America 250. Choir, jazz quartet, whatever else you can think of. We're going to have a lot of characters from the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and we're going to have about 150, 160 people in for that evening.
Are you going as Jefferson?
No, I'm going in as a county supervisor.
Okay.
No, you don't want me as Thomas Jefferson.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Let's see. I was going to ask you about budget negotiations right now.
Yeah.
Are you talking zero-based budgeting yet? Because was Luke Morning in favor of that, or was he like careful what you wish for?
Lukewarm.
So
Luke was Luke.
Luke was Luke. That's funny. So was it careful what you wish for, guys?
Yeah, but here's the thing. You're changing the CFO. You're changing the county manager. Frankly, I told one of my colleagues a few meetings ago, I'd put this off for a year. Let the new guys get on board. Let them get their lives in order. Figure out what's going on. I remain dedicated to having a zero-based budget. I just think it's the right thing to do. All the companies I worked for over 50 years, and I worked for some very large companies, zero-based budgeting was the model.
In private business, you bet.
Yeah.
But explain in an elevator speech, we have about 22 minutes of show left, including breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Explain what that is to those people who don't know.
Sure. The current model for most government finance, okay, is use it or lose it. Okay, so you build together a plan, you're given an X amount of dollars, and there's a very good likelihood that the following year, if you do not use all the money that was allocated to your area, you will lose that money in the new budget round. Zero-based budgeting says you're going to lose the money every single year, and you will turn around and re-justify every single year why you need the money that you need. Tell us why you need this. If you need to buy paper clips, okay, tell us how many, tell us how many, put it in the budget for office supplies. Okay, if you need to, for instance, the road system, you need X number of vehicles to fix potholes in the unincorporated areas around Lake Havasu City. Mm-hmm. Tell us what that is, how many people to staff it, how many potholes are going to,
So then, okay, yeah. the devil's advocate would say stuff happens, right?
Yeah.
What do you put in there for an emergency fund? What percentage?
It's called contingency. It could be anything from 10 to 15% probably. Okay. That's kind of standard on government
and
contracts.
And then if I'm writing this budget, do I account for inflation?
Let's say
it's at 9% Biden inflation.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. You got to build a budget that's realistic. Sure. We're effectively running a company.
I'm actually for this. I have been for many years.
I just
think it's easier to go, what'd you have last year? Okay, we'll give that to you. If you don't spend it all, we'll give it to you again.
Government in general is very resistant to zero-based budgeting. Okay, it is. And I'm not singling out the county or the cities in this county. I'm just saying, generally speaking, across, the universe of government organizations, there's a deep reluctance to embrace zero-based budgeting.
Why do you think that is?
Because people get into little turf wars, I think, and it's kind of like, this is my area, I'll figure out what to do, and I know the best way to preserve jobs and things to get done is to base my budget on last year plus any additional needs or a reduction of needs. And it's...
I think it's more of... Yeah. They're going to find out what I really do here, which is not what I have led them to believe I do.
That's a possibility.
Okay.
By the way, the other thing about zero-based budgeting, we find areas that are underfunded.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Underfunded, though.
Underfunded. They need more money.
But we know they're overfunded. But this guy over here, say, I'm not saying the animal shelter, but somebody like that goes through, they go through money. They're taking care of stray animals.
Yeah.
Right?
There are areas that are underfunded.
Yeah.
You might want to shift some money from overfunded to underfunded. Okay? So.
I got it. Yeah. All right. We're going to go ahead and take our next break. And it's not New Year's Day, but it is St. Patrick's Day. Well, I couldn't play any Bob Saget. It wasn't clean enough. Have you heard his bit?
No, I have
not. On the leprechaun?
No, it's all right.
Folks, make sure the kids aren't around and Google it. Holy cow. Yeah, he's got a great leprechaun song. First time I saw Bob Saget was on those HBO specials. And you're like, wait a minute, he was on Full House?
Mm-hmm.
This guy, yeah, it was G-rated back then. Not on the special, though. All right, back with more in a moment. You know what? Speaking of which, I have, I got one left or two. You know who Matt Rife is? He's a comedian. On this, he looks like Billy Idol.
Yeah, he does.
What is that? Man in the High Castle?
Yes,
advertising?
Yes.
You watch that?
Yes.
It's a great show, isn't it? All right. Matt Rife, I've got tickets Saturday, May 9th in the Edge Pavilion. I know it's a ways off, but it's a great time to give away a pair of Matt Rife tickets, and you'll have to, you'll win the certificate, and then you call marketing and you reserve the seats, all right? It is 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687, and I'll give you a pair of Matt Rife tickets. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm surprised the phone line isn't lining up. Do you have it? Oh, there's one. But they need to light up for you, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not you, too, the band. You, too. Mm-hmm. Right,
correct.
Exactly. That would be County Supervisor Rich Lettman. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. All right, welcome back to Speak Out, brought to you in part by TWN Fiber Internet, also Salmon's Air Conditioning, by Springberg Wealth Management, The Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, samsguns.com, Solar Power by Esme Electric, Doritos Place, and by Legacy Rehab and Care. Man, that was perfect, Bono. Thank you. All right, buy local or it's buy local. And as my guest just pointed out to me, can you believe the hour's almost gone? And I'm like, well, yeah, you know how many shows I've done? I'm just saying, yeah, it amazes me too. So, and we've gone through a couple of topics that were very pertinent in that. Actually, three or four now.
Yeah.
But what is your, why did you jump from the city to the county, number one? It wasn't for, you know, for the stature of it. I mean, you said you were 75. What more do you have to prove in this life, right? What do you want to achieve for the board while you're on the board?
Yeah, well, I there's a lot. I felt that Bullhead City needed some really strong representation to continue what Hilde had delivered on the board.
Okay, that's fair.
And we have an intrinsic disadvantage for our particular area because Kingman basically split up over two supervisors. And Lake Havasu City is kind of split up over two supervisors. Bullhead has one. Okay, so the district. So I went in there saying, we're going to fight for Bullhead. And as you watch me up on the board talk about everything from flood control money, okay, to how we allocate money for sheriff's law enforcement, all this stuff, there's no question that I have a really strong point of view about fiscal discipline, okay, and how we spend money and how we use it and where it goes. So that's the big priority. But somebody did ask me a while back, what was my highest priority on the Board of Supervisors? And the answer to that is getting along with the other four supervisors.
That's a good strategy.
That's an extremely good strategy, especially as we looked at the old board that left, okay? They had been there a long, long time, okay? And, you know, I don't know if they got on each other's nerves or what, but I can tell you this. The five of us, this board is loaded with talent. We all seem to get along pretty well. Everybody has a strong suit. Everyone, mm-hmm. all five of us shine in different areas. We really have a good, strong, solid Board of Supervisors in Mojave County.
Let's see what our caller has to say. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi, I was just wondering if there was just tickets left.
Oh, no, we have given those tickets away. Thank you. All right. I can't help but imagine, and I've asked a couple of supervisors this, what it was like being on a three-man board. And, you know, that whole expansion to five was a little, is it time, is it not time? Do we have 200,000 by statute, right, state mm-hmm. statute? But I can't imagine. It must have been a fun board with Tom Sockwell and Jim Zaborski. Mm-hmm. And there was one, I can't remember who, was it
Gary Watson?
Lois Hubbard, maybe?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was Watson.
Yeah, I think it was Gary Watson.
It was Gary, yeah.
It might even been Steve Moss, I don't know.
That sounds like a fun board. But
well,
is that too few, though?
It is.
I think so.
It is. In fact, you know, there's a bill in the legislature right now for the really big counties. I think there's three. Moving their boards up to seven members.
Wow.
Okay. Well, Maricopa, got 4 million people. That probably makes a lot of sense. Okay. And I think Pima and Pinal are the other two.
I think Maricopa had a huge boost of experience when Debbie Lesko.
Yeah. Oh, she's terrific.
Oh, my goodness. I thought she had come back to Arizona to run for governor. I really
did. She's terrific.
But she won't do it. I had people that asked. You know,
we got somebody else running.
I got people.
we got another guy running for governor. Okay.
Do we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to elect him, too.
Right. So you're big in county and state politics, aren't you?
Oh, I love it. I very participative in Republican politics. And I'm a former registered libertarian.
Really?
So. Oh, yeah.
There's a close proximity there, especially with fiscal spending.
Yeah, I continue.
We're non-spending.
I continue to say I can't speak for the whole county,
mm-hmm.
but I think for my district, the district is largely libertarian. Okay, I just leave us alone. Just leave us alone.
Put the
wall up.
Are you talking about Bullhead?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because the fire board, I would beg to differ with that big raise. Would you have 9.4% on your property tax they added? I mean, I have friends on the fire board.
This
I'm
is
sorry.
What we have elections
it is,
for.
It is what it is. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, let's talk about, I noticed on your list, I am not familiar with this, so you get to school me. You got about 4 minutes. Davis Dam 75.
Yeah. So on December 10th of 2027 will be the 75th anniversary of the dedication of Davis Dam. That was done with a gathering of all seven governors of the states of the Colorado River Compact. I doubt
how could you do that now?
Yeah, good luck getting Gavin and Joe Lombardo together, you know. So
I don't know. You know, he went to this high school.
Yeah.
He's 2 years before me. I was thinking more of the governor of Colorado and Gavin. Or the upper basin states do not get along with the lower basin states. Why?
Because the upper basin states need to give us more of the water we're entitled to.
Does he get the water first?
Yeah.
Exactly.
But anyway, I don't see Andy Biggs and Gavin Newsom and Joe Lombardo, you know, having a kumbaya hug.
Lombardo's a good guy, though.
Yeah, I like
former
him a lot.
Clark
He's
County Sheriff.
Great to listen to.
Yeah.
Anyway, Davis Dam 75, once we get America 250 out of the way and Route 66-100 out of the way,
wow,
all eyes will turn towards the 75th anniversary of dedicating Davis Dam, which outside of Hoover Dam is the single biggest public investment in Mojave County. Okay, so, and it's the reason Bullhead City, Laughlin, and Fort Mojave are all there.
Is a really important question. It's an earthen dam still, correct?
Right. Uh-huh.
Isn't there a life expectancy to that?
We'll let you talk to the people at Reclamation. I believe it's in very good shape, though.
Okay, I would imagine it is.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a lot of people downriver from that.
My guess is, back in the 50s, they
uh-huh.
built things to last.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're going to go with that? Like Chernobyl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Built to last.
I see. What else? Oh, the county fairgrounds.
I'm not a fan of it.
Are we staying there then?
I hope not. I'm in the minority. I already know this.
Really?
I just see the fairgrounds. The concept of the county fair is fine with me. You know, I mentioned that I would, you know, sell the county fairgrounds, and I think some 4-H mothers came up and almost decapitated me after I said this. The point here is we're on 18, 20 acres of land that has tremendous value, sitting in the middle of Kingman. Wasn't that an old racetrack or something at one time? Hualapai Downs?
I have an idea.
Yeah.
Why can't the county fair itself,
yeah,
that's October, September, whatever, why can't we rotate it?
It could.
You have Sierra Park here. You have the fairgrounds there, and what's in Bullhead?
That's actually a great idea. I've not heard that one.
Because I just came up with it.
Yeah. My point is, let's sell the land. By the way, we get property tax off of it, and then let's take the proceeds and build a county fairgrounds that we can. That's modern, ADA compliant.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That we can be proud of. And put it someplace where it's maybe a little more centralized to everybody. Yeah, I don't know.
Here I thought you were going to say and pay for a morgue.
No. The morgue's paid for. We already got the money set aside. Stop
Anything
it.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No, maybe stop it.
Maybe your assistant threw you something to talk about like Valerie does with Ron. No?
Do what?
Valerie throws Ron, you know, like public service announcements and that for the end of the
they
show.
Don't send me anything.
No?
No.
Just a lone wolf out there in the wilderness.
I know my stuff pretty well.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead and we will take our last break of the hour. And, man, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Invite me back whenever you want.
I don't know why this thing isn't playing fair with me today. It doesn't like the job you're doing or something. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. All right. We're going to take our last break of the hour. I'll come back and tell you who is on the show tomorrow. Some other guests that I'm working on as well, including Sheriff Schuster. Haven't had him on in a while.
Great guy.
Yeah, I think so.
He's terrific.
All right. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us. Thank you, Rich Lightman.
You got it.
All
thanks.
Right. All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Well, I can't believe it, but tomorrow is the Real Estate Power Hour. You're supposed to go boom,
boom.
great. That's about how powerful BYU is this year, right?
You kidding me, man? We're a number 7 seed in the
seven.
Yeah, and
that's
my,
in the middle of your region.
Miami Hurricanes are a number 8 seed, I think.
All right, let's talk basketball for a second. Yeah. How are the Wildcats going to do?
After that showing against Iowa State, I texted somebody. I'm getting nervous about.
What about Houston?
Look all right.
No, the showing against Houston.
Yeah,
looked pretty good.
Yeah, but
well, I got to go, man.
I probably go. Michigan this year.
All right. Oh no. Again, Mojave Mortgage in the house tomorrow, and that's for the Real Estate Power Hour. Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.